Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I'm Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you?
I'm doing good. I always enjoy this episode because when I watch it, I feel a little skinnier than I did when I first started it.
That's very fair.
I'm not eating giant piles of burgers. I don't rub fish sandwiches on the wall and have them turn the wall clear.
I mean, that's the window to weight gain. Hi, guys. We are brought to you by supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow, only $2 a month. You get access to all of our bonus content, monthly bonus episodes, weekly episode reviews, and more. Do encourage you to check that out. Also, and I think Matt's going to at least do his best to do it, is we are participating in the Extra Life Charity Gaming Marathon. It's on November 5th. It is an organization. They do it every year where you game for 24 hours straight and try to raise money for the Miracle Children's Network of Hospitals, which basically treat children with really serious diseases. It's a really good cause. I've done it for like 4 years straight now, and I have created a team for The Simpsons Show. If you want to join or donate, it's extra-life.org/team/The Simpsons Show. And I will have a link in the show notes, and I've already posted on all of our social media, and I'll probably be routinely plugging it. But there is a benefit if you donate $25 or more. You'll have a chance to guest on a future episode of your choice. After the event is over, I will randomly draw from the pool of people who've donated, and whoever wins gets to guest star on their whatever episode they want. So again, that is extra-life.org/team/The Simpsons Show. Or you can go to the Facebook or to the show notes and you will find a link there to either join or donate. And it's a great cause. Definitely appreciate anyone who helps us out there. On to this week's episode. It is King Size Homer, episode 3, FO5, originally aired November 5th, 1995, written by Dan Greaney, directed by Jim Reardon, finished 45th in the ratings. It tied with Grace Under Fire. I always like it when they have, like, oh, it tied with this show that I completely forgot about. You ever watch Grace Under Fire, Matt?
I did. I actually kind of liked it.
Yeah, it wasn't bad for that. Like, it was, like, definitely in the mold of, like, a Roseanne a little bit.
Like Roseanne, but not quite as crude, shall we say?
Yeah, it was, I think it was aiming a little bit higher, you know, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Nielsen rating of 10.0. Episode was the third highest rated show on Fox that week. I don't know what beat it, though.
At this point, probably 90210, probably Melrose Place, you know, whatever.
Football, probably, as well.
That's true. Well, football usually preempts The Simpsons, but yeah, you're probably right.
I don't know. They had that. I don't know. The chalkboard gag. Indian birds are not our cultural heritage. I can agree with that.
That's true. That is 100% accurate. They are not. They're, I'm sure, invented by somebody who is just a jerk.
Yeah. They're not cool. Not cool.
Not cool.
Couch gag is the Simpsons are wind-up dolls who try and make their way to the couch and sort of get there. Some fall over. It's fun. I've seen them mostly they're like Japanese toys is mostly what I can, like, in the real world. I'm sure that there were American toys that were like this, but I've only seen them from Japan, the little grindy mechanical, like, metal wind up toys nowadays.
That's true. I have never seen a toy that does that except in, like, thrift stores.
Yeah. I think they stopped making them in America because they're made out of metal. Metal costs more. The episode guest stars Joan Kenley once again as the telephone lady. We last saw her in Home Sweet Home Diddly Dum Doodly, whatever. Now she serves
the You Negligent Monsters.
You Negligent Monsters, and now she's also on the phone this time, but different reason. The episode begins with Homer hiding in the bathroom to avoid calisthenics.
I forget, is it 5 or 15 minutes?
It's five. Minutes of calisthenics.
Which, not even hard calisthenics.
No,
just,
it's,
you know,
jumping jacks and some push-ups. Why doesn't Homer just do, like, from his knees, modified?
Right? Any form of effort is too much for Homer.
I guess
really.
So, but, I mean, I'm going to say this for Homer. He does do one push-up.
That's true, he does one.
Which I would not, if I'm betting on Homer's athletic ability, I would bet that he couldn't even do one. So he does do one push-up. I love that he's just they do their calisthenics. He's just in his underwear.
Everyone else is in like workout gear. Homer is just in his with tidy whities.
And he's not ashamed. And no one's mentioning this. Homer is literally in his underwear doing. I guess he just doesn't have. I mean, he has sweatpants, right?
We have seen him in sweatpants. Yeah. So yes, he does.
Maybe he just didn't bring them. He assumed he wouldn't have to do. Is this a new? I forget if they mentioned this is a new thing that Mr. Burns is doing, or
I don't think they mentioned it, to be honest.
No, I think it's just they're happening. I'm just curious if like this is something that's always been done, and Homer just manages to avoid it every single day until today.
I guess, yeah.
There's a lot in this episode that if you think about it too hard, it breaks. It falls apart in little pieces.
Why you can't think about it.
Don't think about like all the plot points meeting together because it breaks. It does not work. You have to just kind of take it at face value. But they notice that Charlie is at home on disability, and so Homer wants to also be home on disability, which is fraud. Like that's really bad. Which Homer, I don't think Homer's like at any like he even admits to Lisa that it's sleazy, right?
Yes, he usually says to Lisa, sure, it's a little bit sleazy, but try to look at this from my perspective.
that's what he says.
Yeah.
I don't know, but he is going through the list after walking through, like, are they doing like construction work on the plant? I'm guessing is what's happening at the beginning when he's trying to get stuff to fall on his head.
Yes.
Yeah. Cause he walks through a construction zone without a hard hat and avoids all the falling tools and buckets and the wheelbarrow full of concrete blocks, which.
Yeah. I've never seen that many things ever dropped in a construction site. That seems like it'd be very unlikely to happen.
It's the plant and it's Springfield, man. It's like a double whammy of ineptitude. I think every construction site in Springfield is bad. And then the ones at the plant are even worse.
That's true, because no one at the plant cares at all about safety, as we saw in this week's new episode.
and Homer himself is the safety inspector. But he, after failing to injure himself through like a through falling through gravity, basically, he goes through a pamphlet trying to figure out something that does afflict him.
Well, he also attempts syndrome, no. Lumbar lung, no. Juggler's despair, no. Achy breaky pelvis, no. Oh. I'm never going to be disabled. I'm sick of being so healthy. Hey, wait. Hyper-obesity. If you weigh more than 300 pounds, you qualify as disabled.
Which, it's at this point it launches into, like, that dream sequence, right? Where he eats
Yes, yeah. Where he imagines being 300 pounds. I'd also like to point out that he tried to hurt himself by pouring grease on the ground and thinking that would cause him to slip and fall.
Except he just slides all the way through the plant into Mr. Burns' office, which is, it's a really good sight gag, honestly. And there's a lot of visual stuff in this episode, which is all
I'd
really...
also like to know what juggler's despair is. That sounds terrible.
Juggler's despair is you can't lift your arms above your waist.
Oh, of course. That makes sense.
Because then you can't toss things.
Seems like if you're unable to do the thing you love to do, you'd be kind of screwed.
Right. And he goes home, and the first person he tells is Bart. But then Lisa does manage to overhear.
If you gain 61 pounds, they'll let you work at home?
Uh-huh. That's the deal. No more exercise program. No more traffic. No more blood drives or charity walks.
Dad, I know we don't do a lot together, but helping you gain 61 pounds is something I want to be a part of.
Dad! I must protest. You're abusing a program intended to help the unfortunate.
I'm not saying it isn't sleazy, honey, but try to see it my way. All my life, I've been an obese man trapped inside a fat man's body.
Have you told Mom about this?
No, it would only worry her. If you want to add to her worries, go ahead. I guess I'm just a little more grateful for all she's done for us.
Dad!
Yes, sweetheart.
Obesity is really unhealthy. Any doctor will tell you that.
Oh, yeah? Well, we'll just see about that, little Miss Smart Guy.
In that dream sequence, we see that Homer weighs 239 pounds.
Indeed. I feel like, though, in order for Homer to be as fat as he's portrayed on the show, he would have to be incredibly short. Like, do we know Homer's height?
I think he's average height. I mean, like 5'8", 5'9", 5'10", somewhere. Like, roughly my height.
239 pounds is not...
No,
that's super heavy.
It's not. I weigh 225 right now, roughly. which is more than I'd like, but I don't consider myself like fat.
Rotund.
I'm chubby at most. I think that's when I mentioned you have to overlook some things. That is one of them. And like, that's the thing, like I think that's the thing I like dislike the most about this episode is that it kind of calls into question how fat Homer actually is, like in the rest of the episodes.
Yeah, well, he gets to 315 pounds, I believe.
Yeah, which is...
Which, on a 5'9 frame, is pretty hefty, but it's not, like, moo-moo hefty.
It is not moo-moo hefty, yeah. And especially, I don't know, it seems there's... You don't have to go to a special store to find pants that would fit you. I think you could find... You could go to Walmart and be okay finding pants that you could wear. Like, the episode does kind of portray, when he does gain the weight, Homer as, like, he would weigh 500 pounds instead of just 315.
Yes.
Yeah, which, I mean, 315 is still unhealthy for the especially the in the way that Homer is eating, but it's not, I think they had to make it so that he could gain that much weight in such a short amount of time. They had to make it a lower goal.
Yeah.
And it make it less ridiculous to, that's the thing. I don't know. It's again, we just can't look at it that hard. You just have to.
That's true.
You have to move past it.
They just pick numbers that seemed heavy, and they're like, "Oh, 300 pounds. That's crazy. About no one will ever weigh that much."
No,
I'm sure in the '90s that felt like a lot. Now, here in the 2000s, as obesity continues to spread, it's a little more commonplace.
Obesity rates are over saturated in the news, Matt. It's not really that bad.
You say that, but I work with, let's say, people who suffer from those conditions more likely than others.
Well, I'm not saying that it's not a bad thing. Like, it certainly is. I don't really want to talk about like obesity rates in America, and like this episode, we'll get into it in a bit. When Homer tries to go to the movies, we'll talk about it. But
yeah,
he goes to Dr. Hibbert. Dr. Hibbert is horrified, as he should be, at Homer's intent to gain so much weight in a very short amount of time, but is more than happy to recommend him a doctor who will give him a way into weight gain. And that doctor is Dr. Nick.
Hi, everybody.
Hi Dr. Nick.
Now, there are many options available for dangerously underweight individuals like yourself. I recommend a slow, steady gorging process combined with acyl horizontology.
Of course.
You'll want to focus on the neglected food groups, such as the whipped group, the congealed group, and the chocotastic.
What can I do to speed the whole thing up, Doctor?
Be creative. Instead of making sandwiches with bread, use Pop-Tarts. Instead of chewing gum, chew bacon.
You could brush your teeth with milkshakes.
Hey, did you go to Hollywood Upstairs Medical College, too? And remember, if you're not sure about something, rub it against a piece of paper. If the paper turns clear, it's your window to weight gain. Bye-bye, everybody!
It's your window to weight gain.
Window to weight gain. I particularly enjoy Dr. Nick's food pyramid. If only that was real and was healthy.
Right? If you could eat according to that food pyramid, everyone would be a lot skinnier and a lot happier.
If those foods were actually, like, good for you and not awful for you.
Yeah. Candy sounds good right now. Oh, well.
Homer and Bart go to the store and on the little shopping trip to... We get a montage of them eating, of Homer eating a lot of food and him weighing himself over and over and over as he gains weight. We go to the grocery store. We see... I got a list of all the food that that we see. There's Ham Ahoy, which I enjoy that. There's Much Ado About Stuffing.
Oh, stuffing. Mm.
And then apparently there's also a thing underneath that stuffing called, that's just AMNBF. AMDBF. I don't know what that is.
That's like a delicious food.
Yeah, that's, I want to eat that. There's also, this is a great name, Cheezus H. Rice.
That is a fantastic food product.
My favorite, though, is just Tub. It's Tub with three B's.
With three B's.
Yeah.
You gotta say the extra B.
Tub.
Your B word fat at that point.
Yeah, exactly. And then finally, Uncle Jim's Country Fillin', which is in a squeeze tube.
Yeah.
What is that, Matt? Tell me what Country Fillin' is.
I have no idea. I'm like, is it just straight up lard? It's like, oh, no, you'll be really full after you eat this.
This is what I picture. I picture it is congealed sausage gravy.
Oh,
that you just squeeze
probably,
in.
Probably, but
you just squeeze into your mouth.
Mm, that sounds awful.
It's
I'm
like
a little
it's like cookie dough,
nauseated.
But sausage gravy. I don't know. I really like sausage gravy, so it doesn't sound. You just put it on a plate and heat it up. It sounds really good, actually.
That's true, but it just says squeeze and swallow. If you were warm it up, that'd be amazing. I love sausage gravy, but if you just swallow it, just ugh.
Maybe you're supposed to put the whole thing in the microwave.
Maybe. That's a little better.
But they, all right,
let's go on from this.
we're gonna be talking a lot about a lot of food. We see Homer eat around the banana in a banana sundae, even though
the ice cream parlor.
Mm-hmm. But bananas have a lot of sugar in them. I think it's fine to eat the banana.
They do. I mean, out of all fruits, they're pretty close to the top in how sugar loaded they are. But I guess compared to ice cream, they have nutrients.
They do have those pesky vitamins that Bart talks about. And they also go. Homer is skeptical when eating a fish sandwich, but they test it by rubbing it on the wall, and the wall turns clear. So, you know, window to weight gain.
Yeah.
Even though fried fish sandwiches, I mostly, especially for fast food, pass.
Yeah, they're all right. They're just not great.
There's just better options. We also see Homer's insane fantasies about working from home.
Yeah, he has no idea working from home is actually like.
No, he does not. Homer like envisions having like a full workstation outside. Why would he? But there's also a soda, like a candy machine there. And Marge is like waiting on him hand and foot. She's giving like bringing him lemonade, and they dance. Like, you know, Homer has this vision of, and I think that is how they sell Homer buying into this incredibly dangerous and crazy scheme. Is that Homer has this vision that suddenly life will be so much better. He doesn't have to go to work. He's at home. He loves his home. He loves being home. Everything will be great and perfect. But
yep, and but as not, we find out, he has to pay for the air conditioning.
Yeah, he does have to pay for the air conditioning, and I don't know. It actually does a pretty decent job of showing what working from home is like. But as he gains weight, it's impossible not to notice. And Marge finally, after he lays on the bed and weighs so much that she falls on top of him, she confronts the subject with him.
Oh, hello, honey.
Hi. There's something I've been meaning to ask you. Did you put on a little weight this week?
I was going to surprise you, but what the heck, honey? I'm purposely gaining 61 pounds to get on disability.
Have you lost your mind? Have you thought about your health or your appearance?
Oh, so that's it, isn't it, Marge? Looks, I didn't know you were so shallow.
Oh, please, I would love you if you weighed 1,000 pounds, but...
Beautiful, good night. Oh, I got 15 minutes to gain a pound or I gotta face another day at work.
Bad news, Dad. We're out of food. We're even out of the basic elements of food. You ate all the tarragon and you drank all the soy sauce.
I need a miracle. Oh, honey. That looks just like a real donut.
Dad, it says non-toxic.
Well, that's a plus.
So Homer eats Play-Doh.
I don't think that's how you work. I don't think you just wake up and like, oh, I'm 300 pounds, don't have to go
again,
to work.
Matt, another thing we have to just ignore, overlook. Like, yes, there's an incredible, like, workman's comp is incredibly, generally for most workplaces, pretty stringent on requirements and checkups. And, like, they will send private investigators to make sure you're not, you know, faking it sometimes. But he weighs himself. He goes right over 300 pounds. And then they realize that, yes, he's on the towel rack once again, and he weighs actually 315.
So he crushed his record. Good job.
Yeah. He makes a little bit of I think that's the first time you see actually Homer kind of like a little bit second-guessing himself just for a second.
I don't know if he's second-guessed himself. He's just like, oh, I wasn't intending this. Oh, this is even better than I thought kind of thing.
That's what I read. It just is a little bit like, oh, that's more than I expected. You see a little bit of like, ooh, kind of noise. It makes me think that maybe a little bit of doubt is in there. You know, it's certainly not enough to override his desire to stay home, but I feel like it's just a little, and I feel like it builds as we go through the episode. But is that how we end the first act? We go to commercial.
And when we come back, we see Mr. Burns basically setting Homer up for work at home.
I am pleased to dedicate this remote work terminal. It will allow our safety inspector here to perform his duties from home. And so, excelsior to you, Mr. What's the name of this gastropod?
Simpson, sir, one of your chair moisteners from Sector 7G.
Yes, Simpson!
Thank you for your pity.
Mom, were you ever planning to step in and put a stop to this?
Normally, your father's crackpot schemes fizzle out as soon as he finds something good on TV. But this season...
The important part of that was obviously the first, but I loved Marge's commentary on the current season of television.
Well, and I feel like that is pretty accurate about Homer himself. Like, he just, like, you know, these thoughts just come and go, and just the ones that stick are the ones we actually see episodes about. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a numerous other things that Homer is doing out in this world when we're not seeing him, but they just happen so quickly, they come and go, that we don't necessarily see them. But the ones that are up their episodes...
I'm pretty sure at some point several times he has tried to start an emu farm, but we just don't see those because they fizzle out so quickly.
And chair moisteners, I do want to note, is like my favorite Smithers description of the nuclear plant workers.
Yes, definitely. I'm trying to think of a better one, and I just cannot.
No,
that's just the most disgusting one.
I know, chair moisteners is pretty apt, I think.
Yep, that's all they do. They sit in the chair and make it moist.
Oh, gosh. So gross.
After this dedication ceremony, we see Homer go to get a new uniform for work. Since he doesn't have to wear his usual attire, he decides that he does not want to wear pants the salesman suggests he should not wear pants because most of his customers find it confining. We also learn that most of his customers work with a computer. Maybe it has something to do with the nonstop sitting and snacking. Possible. We don't know for sure. And he gives him a very large line of interesting attire choices. And Homer, not wanting to look like a weirdo, chooses the muumuu, which just... All right.
Hey, I'm not saying that you mention and wear dresses in public. I'm just saying that if you wear a dress in public and you're Homer... In Springfield in particular, you might get some weird glances.
That's true. I think a bodysuit would be a little better for Homer. Yeah, it's you can just pretend that you're a mechanic or something.
Yeah. We do see, at the time they had, the world's fattest twins were, in that store. And you also see the world's largest man somewhere in the store as well at the time. Who the twins, I believe, were like over 700 pounds apiece, and the world's largest man at the time was like almost 1,000, 975.
Wow.
Which there's since been men. I think there's a dude who crossed over 1,200 pounds.
That's just the most ludicrous thing I can think of.
It's pretty crazy. I think they do this. You see those specials where they have to rip open the side of his house to get him out of there whenever he needs to go to the doctor.
Let's go back to funny things. So after Homer gets his muumuu and his cool new hat, he is early to work for the first time ever. He strolls in to sit at his computer at 8:58. And for Homer, having never actually worked before, it's a enlightening experience.
8:58. First time I've ever been early for work. Except for all of daylight savings days, lousy farmers. To start, press any key. Where's the any key? I see Esk, Catarl, and Pigup. There doesn't seem to be any key. Oof. All this computer hacking is making me thirsty. I think I'll order a tab. Oh, no time for that now. The computer's starting. Check core temperature. Yes/no. Yes. Core temperature normal. Not too shabby. Vent radioactive gas. N-O. Venting prevents explosion. Ooh, this is hard. Where's my tab? Okay, then. Yes, vent the stupid gas.
Yes, vent the stupid gas. I have to assume that in his regular work terminal, all of this is automated, because I'm sure Homer has never done any of this before.
Yeah, I think that him actually working from home is the hardest he's ever worked.
That's true. He has to, click things and hit Y. Yes. And eventually we find out that he can just hit Y.
Yeah. I also want to, I had almost, I think 90% of the sounds I had on my desktop computer as a teenager were taken from this episode.
Sounds about right.
Every time, every, I just put on funny, all the Simpsons computer related WAV files were attached to various things, opening things on the computer. I'm sure my mother loved it when she went to use the computer, and she got a whole bunch of Simpsons noises playing at her. But I remember distinctly setting any key and tab and to various openings. If I open a program, hey, where's the any key? Also, I do. You can. It's easy to make fun of Homer for that any key thing, but I read in doing research for this episode that they actually, I forget which company it was. I think it was HP. I want to say actually changed their, you know, that instead of press any key, they said press enter, because the one of the questions they got most for their technical support was, where's the any key? They can't find the any
key. Which I have to assume comes from people who just don't know the English language that well.
No, I don't know. I think that, especially then, in the night, like computers now, like we've gone through several generations of people who have lived, grown up with them, and worked on them with them. And like there's so many jobs now that, like, how many jobs are there that don't use computers? Like from, aside from like, you know, trades, like, I mean, even plumbers and electricians and stuff, most of the time when you're doing accounting work, you're still like putting things into a computer and stuff like that. In the 90s, you know, this was still a very new thing, and it's, you're kind of like, if you've never used a computer before in your entire life, I can understand, like, maybe there's a key that is called tab, and you know what, and a lot of these people, I didn't use a typewriter before I used a computer.
Really? Typewriters are so much fun.
I'm not disagreeing with you. Typewriters are a lot of fun, but I don't think I ever, maybe I did. I don't really remember, but I don't know. It's not crazy to me that people didn't know what any key was. That there's still people there. I mean, there's people today who have trouble with very, very simple things. So when
that's
it's
true,
when it's even a newer thing, I can definitely understand.
Fair enough. Fair enough. At this point, the Bart and Lisa walk by. The Bart and Lisa. they walk by, and Homer makes fun of them because they have to go to school. Lisa says, she likes school. Homer says, why doesn't she live there? And Lisa has one of the greatest lines in all of The Simpsons. I would if I could. Now, I've never had a home life that was that bad, but I could definitely see that for,
yeah,
Lisa.
We understand Lisa's point of view there when her father is making fun of her for wanting to go to school.
Yeah. Bart, on the other hand, has decided that he wants to be like Dad when he grows up, and he wants to be a giant fat guy who gets all sorts of interviews and washes himself with a rag on a stick. Yeah. I'll wash myself with a rag on a stick.
I like it when
Bart's future.
I like the Bart goofy laugh. That's always nice.
It's always fun to look at Bart's future in different ways. But at this point, Lisa and Marge are still extremely concerned about Homer's plan.
Maybe if I use my least nagging tone of voice. Homer. 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 That's it. That's the one. All right. Send them on in.
So Lisa and Marge are concerned. Marge is getting her least nagging tone of voice ready. And then Lisa goes to tell Homer that Marge has baked a pie.
It's a cake, Matt. We have to get these things. Oh, we have to get these things right. It's a cake. Sure? And positive.
Okay.
Where's that cake?
Cake. There's no cake. But of course, Marge ambushes Homer, and they begin to write a pros and cons list about, you know, the good and the bad of Homer's current plan. Marge, as of course, saying that, oh, you know, it's freezing in here. You're having to run in the air conditioner all the time, which is definitely true. As a former much heavier person, I can attest to that. Homer claims he is drought and famine resistant, which I guess is kind of true. I don't see how he's really drought resistant, but he's definitely famine resistant for quite a while. And then they go back and forth, and Marge eventually comes to the fact that she is finding herself less attracted to him physically, which, all right, I guess Marge is only attracted to overweight men to a certain point. Homer is taken aback slightly at this and tries to make her feel slightly guilty, but he basically says that he is a big fat dynamo, and then at that point he yells, where's that cake?
Yes.
And is disappointed to learn that there is no cake, but he goes right back to work, and he's going to show Marge that he can be a great person, as a very productive worker as a fat person. At this point, he finds out that he only has to hit Y, not YES, and claims that is tripling his productivity. I mean, that's how that works.
That's technically correct, right, Matt? Sure. He's three times as effective.
Sure, sure. He uses a third of the keys that he used to. He may even use a quarter if he doesn't have to hit enter. He just has to hit Y.
That's true. But, I don't know. I think this segment where you finally actually see him alone working at home is the part that is actually does a very good job at nailing what it's like to work from home as someone who did work from home for a while. It is very much I need to focus. I need to focus. Oh, wait. Something weird is happening in my house. What is it? Oh, it's just a dog. Okay, go back to work. But oh, wait. Or,
I'm hungry. Let me go get some food.
Yeah, there's that. I mean, it certainly amplifies when you're not. You definitely feel different when you're not working. Because if you're at work in an office or wherever, you're always, even if you're like, hey, I'm getting a snack and then I'll go back to work. You're still at work. When you're home getting a snack, it's different. And everything's different. And I think it is not the fantasy world that Homer envisions.
No. Especially since at work he didn't have to do any actual work, but apparently at home he does. So he has to use a broomstick to try and hit the Y key. And he fails repeatedly, so he just has to bang at it for a little while. Then we actually see Bart has gathered his friends around to see his father.
What's your dad's job again? He's a nuclear safety technician.
What's he doing with that broom?
What isn't he doing?
I heard that guy's ass has its own congressman.
Hey, leave my dad alone. Just because he's overweight doesn't mean he's bad. He's a sweet man and he has real feelings.
Hey, what are you kids looking at?
Hey, look, he's trying to get up to yell at us.
Oh, don't make me close that shade.
So yes, poor Homer is essentially too fat to get up and chase the kids away. And, you know, Lisa is saddened by this. Bart doesn't really care. And the neighborhood is essentially aghast. Homer, at this point, decides that he's had enough of the house. He works from home. He can do what he wants. So he leaves a drinking bird in charge who just has to hit Y a whole bunch. And he decides he's going to go to the movies. Which, you know, you're not supposed to do. And Bart even says that, but because apparently he promised Marge he wouldn't wear his muumuu outside, which good call, Marge. But of course, it's Homer, so he says nuts to that. Yeah. I'm going to the movies.
Yeah, I never left my house when I was working from home. You're not, I mean, there's one thing between like, hey, I put a little laundry in, then I'm going to see a movie.
That's a lot of time. It's one thing to take 10 minutes to, you know, check your Facebook or whatever. It's another thing entirely to be like, I'm leaving the house for several hours. But Homer doesn't care. He goes to see Honk if You're Horny. But unfortunately, there's an issue with his weight.
I'm terribly sorry, sir, but I'm afraid our facilities are not equipped to meet your needs.
What are you talking about?
Well, what I'm saying, sir, is that a man of your carriage couldn't possibly fit in our seats.
Well, I could sit in the aisle.
I'm afraid that would violate the fire code. Hey, fatty, I got a movie for you. A Fridge Too Far.
Shame on all of you. Give me my dignity. I just came here to see Honk if You're Horny in peace.
Sir, if you just quiet down, I'd be happy to treat you to a garbage bag full of popcorn.
Just may surprise you, but you can't buy me off with food. I'm sick of all your stereotypes and cheap jokes. The overweight individuals in this country are just as smart and talented and hardworking as everybody else, and they're going to make their voices heard. All they need is a leader.
So, at this point, Homer has decided that he will be the hero of fat people everywhere, and he comes home to find that the drinking bird has fallen over and there is an explosion imminent at the nuclear power plant, and it's all his fault, as we go to commercial.
Yeah, and I did want to ask you this, Matt. I think this episode is relatively, I don't know, it's not necessarily mean to overweight people.
It's not. That's one of the things I actually really liked about it, is it's not saying that overweight people are bad. It's not saying their weight is their fault. It's just in Homer's case, it is. Essentially, what happens to Homer, all the problems he caused are not because he's fat. It's because he's lazy and non-conscientious, essentially.
Yeah.
So the fatness is just a side effect for this particular episode.
And it kind of, it does, again, it is a side concerned. This episode is certainly not concerning itself with what it's like in society for a fat person, but it does, you know, it shows you a little bit of like having to go to a different store to get your clothes, or, you know, feeling oppressed whenever you go out to certain places, because it is true. Like, it is a part of culture where if you are overweight, and especially if you're like in Homer in this episode, like morbidly obese, you're gonna get treated differently in most cases. And I think this episode, it does a decent enough job. You know, I don't think The Simpsons are really equipped as a show to like thoroughly analyze that, because they use Homer's inathleticism so often as a butt of the jokes.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you see it in, you know, when he goes, tries to go to the movies, you know, it is not mean towards overweight people, even though it'd be easy for this episode to be about that. But it's really him being overweight is just a way to kind of put him in this position where he's feeling pressured by society and all that. You know, it's a way to have Homer clash against the status quo.
Essentially, yeah. I was actually thinking about this. I feel like this episode could work almost entirely if Homer found a different reason to be home from work. I feel like a large part of this episode is Homer finding a way to essentially work from home. So if he found something like, oh, Homer got carpal tunnel syndrome or something, and he had to work from home from a special terminal, and you know, instead of the people laughing at him for being fat because he couldn't use his hands or something like that, it could have been the same way. Essentially, yeah. Like the fat is meh.
Yeah, it's you'd have to change a few things, like the Marge being, you know, not attracted to him physically anymore. I don't know. I feel like Marge is just being honest with him, which I think is what she should do in this situation. And I mean, he's being very irresponsible. I don't blame it. Like, Homer is completely, you know, at fault here. You know, he is basically trying to you know, defraud his company, his the power plant. He's kind of putting a burden on his wife and his family. You know, I feel like it is him kind of realizing the error of his ways. And I think this explosion, this threat, is the kind of the way for the show to provide him with something ultimately, you know, a real life repercussion of his choices.
That's true, because at this point you get to see Homer be a hero. And once again, he just gets to be a hero. There's something really weird about that. There's a joke along the way about ice cream, but that's about it. He just gets to be a hero and fix his own mistakes.
Yeah, when we come back from commercial, he can't vent the gas. There's too much pressure. But he decides he's going to try and dial the plant and tell them about the problem.
I got to call the plant and warn them.
The fingers you have used to dial are too fat. To obtain a special dialing wand, please mash the keypad with your palm now.
Special dialing wand. Very important to have one of those. I've got a couple.
It's called a pencil.
I don't think Homer has any pencils.
Or pen, or I don't know, even the TV remote in a pink,
again,
I guess.
Matt can't look at things too closely. I know. Things fall apart. He races to try and race to the plane. He jumps in the car. The tires explode. Which, I get another thing. Gotta kind of ignore that. A 300-pound man would not make the tires explode on a car. Car.
Pretty sure a car that could handle an entire family
can handle one guy. Yeah.
Weighs more than 61 pounds.
Yeah, exactly. He tries to ride Bart's skateboard, breaks it. Then he goes to hitchhike with a sign that reads, "Give me a ride or everyone dies." You might want to rethink that, Homer. When finally someone does stop, Homer's not doesn't make a great impression.
Hey, buddy, you gonna slow your car down? Let me in, because I'm a big fat guy and I can't go anywhere, because there's gonna be some poison gas. I mean, it's gonna be really poison gas. Everybody's gonna be dead, especially me. Oh! The ice cream man. Hey, buddy, you gonna let me in your car? Drive
take
in
take
your
anything
car.
You want, man. Take it all. Gonna get
Ranting and raving is not necessarily the best way to get someone to listen to you.
That is true. Bad things will happen.
But as he's, I almost didn't include this, but it is a premium Ralph quote where he is making fun of Homer as Homer drives by in the ice cream truck.
I heard your dad went into a restaurant and ate everything in the restaurant, and they had to close the restaurant.
Hey, my dad may have gained a little weight, but he's not some kind of food-crazed maniac.
Oh, that's raspberry.
Oh, that's raspberry. That night, it's a, just a little tiny bit of him going, yeah, he's still eating ice cream. I mean, if you're an ice cream truck, you might as well take advantage. The rest of the plant is doing calisthenics. And Homer drives past the open gate in through the chain link fence to get into the grounds of the plant. And he's racing to the bulging vent tank, I guess is what it is.
Yeah, it seems like some kind of holding tank for the gases.
Which
I
is
guess.
Also, this is none of the, again, not accurate to how nuclear power works. But again, can't look at things too closely or it falls apart. So Homer is racing to the tank to try and vent it. And they're doing calisthenics at the same time. So we get this really, again, this is mostly visual with a lot of sound effects, so I didn't pull it, but of Mr. Burns leading the group in calisthenics with the Iroquois twists, as they're called. And it is functionally serving as a countdown to the tank exploding. You know, five I. It's actually very effective. It kind of, you just introduce a countdown. It creates tension.
It does. It really does.
And it's like a very simple thing, but it really makes, you know, it ratchets it up to a point where you're like, you know, actually feeling kind of what Homer's feeling. So he's driving his ice cream truck. Some of the workers who are doing the calisthenics get distracted by the ice cream truck and are like trying
to... The frozen pudding wagon, you mean?
The frozen pudding wagon, excuse me. But Homer drives it up the side of the cooling, one of the towers of the plant, crashes it, and then races to the bulging tank and climbs up this ladder and then is scurrying over this ladder trying to get to this. Why is that lever so high up in the air, Matt?
I don't know. I was thinking, is it a safety thing? They don't want someone to hit that special lever? It doesn't really make any sense.
Again, another thing, can't look at too closely.
Can't think too hard, yeah.
Can't think about too hard. But Homer, just as he's about to reach it and pull, the ladder gives way. He's holding on with one hand, trying to pull the lever, trying to reach up, and fails. The lid to the tank bursts off. But Homer, because he's now a rather wide and large gentleman, fits plumb right in that hole. He plugs the gap.
Yeah, I think a hole is close enough.
Yeah, he plugs it. He serves as a stopgap plug and prevents the explosion. Homer's a hero.
He prevents the release of toxic gas.
And he is presented as a hero by Mr. Burns.
Homer, your bravery and quick thinking have turned a potential Chernobyl into a mere Three Mile Island. Bravo!
I think it's ironic that Dad saved the day while a slimmer man would have fallen to his death.
And I think it's ironic that for once Dad's butt prevented the release of toxic gas.
Fart!
And Mr. Burns finally asks Homer tells him if he needs a favor, he can have it.
If there's anything else I can do for you, please don't hesitate to ask.
Mr. Burns, can you make me thin again?
I guarantee it. One. But I'll just pay for the blessed liposuction.
Woohoo!
Indeed.
Well, I don't know. I've heard some horror stories about liposuction. Kind of scary.
Well, yeah, that's true. But in Homer, I feel like that's probably his best option.
Yeah, it honestly is. Although, I don't know. I think, but again, best not to think about it too hard. That's how the episode ends.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah, there's a lot of it. I think that is the greatest fault in this episode, is that you can't look at it too hard. Like, it's not in that realm of, like, the Mysterious Voyage of Homer, where there's a talking dog. But it's not in like a very more simpler story. It is square kind of in the middle of those two things and the absurd amount of absurdity. And if you look, like, it's set in just enough of a real world setting that if you look at it too closely in any many ways, it falls apart. Like, the way that the plant works, the way that the disability works, the way the amount of weight, how much Homer weighs, like, all those things are like, you know, they kind of creep in your head a little bit, and you kind of just, the episode moves really fast, which I think is to its credit. It just, like, blows right past any kind of that doubt you would have.
That's true. There's zero B plot here, and I feel like they packed this episode full of every tiny little detail they could think of, and it moves so quickly your brain doesn't really have time to think. But when you watch it over and over again, you start to think, hey, that doesn't work like that in real life. But the episode is so fun, like, while you're watching it the first couple, three times, you don't really notice because you're just laughing.
Yeah, it's a very, very funny episode. A lot of great gags. I mean, window to weight gain. There's numerous. Watch Myself with a Rag and a Stick, Dialing Wands, and Mr. Burns in totality is pretty wonderful with his calisthenics and his Yale sweater. We'll rank it at the end of the show. Interested to see where we put it. We can move on to our next segment. It's time for my favorite episode. We have multiple submissions, Matthew.
We do.
Let's see. First from Isaac. Hey, guys. King size Homer is a big, fat dynamo. Push out the jive and bring in the love for this great episode. Although not emotionally impactful as my other favorites tend to be, the sheer amount of hilarious lines and great jokes put this at the top of my list. I dream of the day that a doctor will prescribe a slow, steady gorging process combined with asshole horizontology. The end of the episode with the countdown of Iroquois twists is another nice touch, as it creates the suspenseful feeling you don't see a lot of in The Simpsons. Keep up the great work, guys. And always remember, if the paper goes clear, that's your window to weight gain. Thanks, Isaac. Let's see. From Will. Hi, Robbie and Matt. Excellent podcast. Keep up the... Excellent podcast. Keep up the good work. That doesn't have his... I believe he intended for the Mr. Bird's excellent in there. Though it doesn't have much heart or emotional depth, I'd have to say King Size Homer from season 7 is my all-time favorite episode, simply because of how funny it is. Episode is pure Simpsons hilarity and insanity for all 22 minutes. The jokes are nonstop and the dialogue is endlessly quotable. Every time I hear Dr. Nick refer to Homer as dangerously underweight, I crack up. Same goes for the reveal of Homer, the food-crazed maniac, when he's driving the ice cream truck. I really wish my grocery store carried Uncle Joe's Country Fillin' in tub. And I'd love to get a new Moo Moo at the Vast Waistband. Thanks again for the great podcast. Thank you, Will. And finally from Sarah. Just wanted to write in for King Size Homer, which is my favorite episode. I first saw it when it originally aired, and many times since. I love Mr. Burns as the calisthenics instructor, and the old-timey exercises he makes the power plant employees do. Interaction with Dr. Nick is hilarious and educational. I have his nutrition pyramid hanging at my desk at work. I work with multiple nutrition experts. They all think it's funny. Marge using her least nagging tone of voice, Bart's vision of being a Lardo on Workman's Comp, and the return of the drinking bird are all great. I could go on and on, but I'm sure you'll cover it all on the podcast. Thanks for talking about my favorite show. So thank everyone for their submissions. If you have a favorite episode, please submit it to SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com, explaining why a certain episode is your favorite, and I will read it. I'll read it when we get to that particular episode. Next up, Matt, it is time for our next segment. It is time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments to the news group is where I will comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons news group and see what people were talking about the week or two after the episode debuted. It's archived on Google Groups. We're still in the wasteland, Matt.
Oh, shucks.
I don't think...
I won't get to hear what some nerd thinks about Star Trek. I mean, The Simpsons, sorry.
Well, I mean, both. But I think... I don't know, I peeked ahead a little bit. I think after the new year it comes back more. I hope so. I really hope. Like in 96, all the 96 episodes will have stuff. I'm going to the Simpsons archive and seeing what they have. They have generally like a collection of the stuff that was going on. The reviews of the time, B's and C's, at least on the news group.
Fair enough.
Kind of average. I mean, average to mediocre grades.
That's weird though, because I mean, I particularly like this episode. I think you like this episode. We can never seem to align very well with the news groups. I don't know what it is.
Like I said, I think it's just we are in our listener question this week, a little bit of a foreshadowing is there's so many different kinds of people who like The Simpsons and like it for so many different reasons, you know, and particularly nerds on the internet, and especially people who are so nerdy and that they were news group subscribers in 1995 when it was a difficult thing to do. You know, it took work to get to that point. Like, go on Twitter nowadays, even after the best of shows airs, there's plenty of people who don't like it. You're just getting the most most opinionated, the most hardcore. I think they just have very, very high expectations.
I suppose. I feel like those people will go through life perpetually unfulfilled.
Or maybe they were like young and they got older and got smarter, which is generally, I mean, if you would ask me like to grade things in like when I was 17 or 19 or 21, I was dumb. I think that is my insight to general internet, like bad attitude and kind of gross behavior is like, I always ask myself, I wonder how old that person is.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are some older trolls, but I have a feeling that most of the trolls are young and just, you know, they're young. They're dumb.
That's true. Dumb people are everywhere.
I was a dumb idiot when I was a kid, so I don't want
to. True. I get the feeling that a lot of them are men that will never be satisfied.
I'm not saying anything.
No? Not going to skip the Hamilton reference entirely. All right, fair enough.
I have nothing to add, Matt.
This silence is golden. I love it.
I have nothing to add. I can't. I'm not going to. What can I say? Tell me What should I say in response?
You should just roll your eyes and be like, oh, whatever, and move on. That's what I crave.
I can't roll my eyes over. It's not a visual medium.
I can hear the sigh when you roll your eyes.
Okay, good. Speaking of listener question, we can move on to our next segment. We can move on to the listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Our listener question of the week this week is, what is the most overrated episode? Prepare to get your feelings hurt, Matt.
Aww.
Not really. A lot of people took this to mean, like, how high is on our personal list, which is fine. But I personally am interpreting it as the general Simpsons fandom. But there's multiple interpretations. Again, I try not to prescribe them because I think it's interesting to see how people interpret it. First from Jason. According to your list, I would say Cape Fear is the most overrated. Yeah, it's a great episode, but it's not original. It's a parody of a remake of a movie. So much they retain the title. For that reason alone, I don't think it warrants the number one spot on your list. Top 20 for sure. There are many episodes that took an original plot and created an amazingly funny show around it. Definitely not worthy of the number one spot. Rob's answer, I'm going to go with El Viaje Misterioso de Nuestro Homer. I love all the stuff at the beginning with the chili cook-off, but the moment that ruins it for me is Marge getting angry at Homer for drinking when he only dumped beer on himself due to the hotness of the pepper he ate. Always hated the unfairness of it from Homer's perspective, and the hallucination scenes didn't do much for me either, though Johnny Cash did great voice work. Finally, the final third of the show with Homer trying to find his true soulmate seemed forced, or I could just be an insensitive jerk, and the episode is amazing. I mean, that's possible.
Possible.
When we get to that episode, I'm just going to say that it will be very high on our list.
Mm-hmm.
Next from Elliot. I'll do what I did on the underrated and just go off the best episode ever list. I'm going to say Lisa's Substitute. It's not that I dislike the episode. It's a 9 out of 10 in my opinion. Problem with that is that The Simpsons have at least 50 episodes that are 10s. This one just doesn't completely do it for me. I don't connect emotionally with the show as much as I do intellectually. I think in order to truly love Lisa's Substitute, one must feel that emotional shattering at the end as it stands. It's an excellent half hour of television, which just makes it a solid Simpsons installment. I mean, I feel that way about a lot of Simpsons episodes that people say are amazing. Cole, I think all Treehouse of Horror is overrated. Yeah, they have great segments referencing great movies and all, but none of them have emotion or characterization, things that make a good episode. From Gretchen, she has a little asterisk, defends Cape Fear from all challengers with a little Dukes up emoticon.
Thank you, Gretchen.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I kid because I love. It's not that I don't enjoy the episode, but I think Mr. Plow is overrated. If it weren't for the inanimate carbon rod and Hail Ants, Deep Space Homer would be up there with it. But the rod. Victor's answer. Two fan favorites I'm not keen on are Homer at the Bat and Starcraving Dad. Homer at the Bat is an okay episode, I'll admit, but nothing like people make it out to be. Starcraving Dad, on the other hand, is an episode I hate. Call me cold-hearted, but I am annoyed by Lisa's birthday song.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh, you think that's Batman? Wait for this. Martin's answer. Summer of 4'2". Boring.
I don't say this to a lot of our listeners, but you're wrong in every possible way.
I specifically pulled that one just because I knew it would upset you. Pat at Patrick Evans 2, Marge vs. the Monorail, not sure it would even be in my personal top 10. Daniel at Veggie Duck, Homer's Barbershop Quartet has some funny jokes, but the suspension of disbelief was always too much for me. Danny at Woosh Danny H, overrated is when talked up, so high faults are overlooked. Kate Fear, love Bob, but fans overvalue Bob and grammar at times. Oh, Danny. Bob's the best. That's one of my answers. Bob's the best. Bobby, at the Bobby Cash. Here we go again, Matt. Summer 4'2" is pretty overrated. Don't know why, but I've never been too hot on it. Maybe another watch is needed. So at least he says that. You know, maybe he can watch it.
There's always another watch needed for episodes you find overrated. Just keep watching them.
Yeah, that makes it better. Liz at the Liz McD. Mr. Plow, yeah, there was a song, and that's it. Skinner's Sense of Snow is way better.
All right, fair enough. I feel like a lot of these criticisms are valid, especially Marge versus the Monorail. I personally really enjoy it, but I can definitely see why people would not quite so much.
Yeah, and when you're asking most overrated, obviously you're going to look at the episodes that are considered the best by a lot of people. So, like, yeah, they're all the ones that everyone likes. Of course they are, because those, you're not, an episode that's considered average by most people is not overrated unless it's really, really bad. But most people yeah, are picking among things that a lot of people consider great. But I think it just illustrates people go to The Simpsons for different things a lot of the time. And they're like,
that is definitely true.
I think that speaks to the strengths of the show and that it can have such disparate things all gathered under one big umbrella and still make cohesive sense. What is your answer, Matthew?
Well, I just wanted to first real quick say I agree with Treehouse of Horrors. They are extremely hit or miss, especially after the first, you know, probably 3 or 4 seasons. You generally get at least one good segment out of them, and then the other two are usually meh. And there are some seasons where I'm just like, why am I bothering to watch this? I'm actually going to go with Simpson Califragilisticexpialidocious.
What? 8. What? Matt, oh,
it's a
no.
good episode, oh, but Matt. Everyone seems to love it.
I do
and
love
I'm
it.
And I'm just like, okay, it's good.
No, that's... We're going to fight when we get to that episode. I love
I
that
I mean,
episode.
Like I said, it's a good episode, but I'm not like, oh my God, this is amazing kind of thing. Sorry, your answer, sir.
Okay. Well, speaking of episodes that are, I don't know, relatively well-revered, but I think aren't... I mean... I didn't go by our rankings. I went right. with, I tried to think of like general consensus, and that is Lisa's First Word.
I don't know. I've never heard people really talk a lot about First Word.
Well, it's a part of that, you know, the way we was. I Married Marge, Lisa's First Word, and Maggie Meeks.
The flashback episode.
Yeah, those four, I think, are a lot of the times like, I mean, I remember our question was when we asked, what are the good episodes to start off a new fan? And a lot of people answered with those four. Like, you show them those, it gives them, like, a background on all the characters, how they met, and how the families got set up. And then after that, you can kind of show them the ones you think are funniest. I think of those four, Lisa's First Word is by far the weakest, because it is most reliant on, like, topical humor of, like, a very specific time period that I had basically no connection to. And I don't know, it's, again, not that it's bad. I just think, like, all those episodes that people were mentioning, I think most of them are really good, and don't think they're overrated. I think, I really thought about it, like, I think Lisa's First Word, it's not that it's considered, like, a great all-time Simpsons episode all the time, but I feel like it's not nearly as good as those other three flashback episodes, which you can see on our list. We ranked it relatively low
yeah.
compared to those other three, which are really high.
Fair enough. I can't really disagree.
Our next week's question. What is your favorite episode after season 10?
Ooh, that's going to be a tough one. I'm going to have to do some serious digging there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and there was I think it was on Paste. They released the best 100 episodes after season 10, which I thought was really interesting. But I kind of want to, I'm curious what, I know some people don't, like, haven't even watched anything after season 10. They just stopped. So, you know.
And they're wrong.
Well, I'm not going to call anyone out for just giving up on, if you stop enjoying something, there's a finite amount of time on Earth. Just, you know, it's okay. You can move on. Stop. It's okay. It's better than watching it and I hate watching it. It's just, if you're not enjoying it anymore, don't. It's okay. We can move on to our next segment. It is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I each challenge each other with 3 trivia questions. 1 easy, 1 medium, and 1 hard. Try and stump the other. We have a wager for this season. The loser has to eat 64 slices of American cheese. Or at least...
Which, compared to what I've eaten this today, is not that big a deal. So, hey.
All right. Oh, you're prepping, Matt? You're getting your...
Yes.
You already... I see how it is. See, I get a little bit of a lead, and I guess mm-hmm. you gotta prepare for the worst. We are joined today in the No Google Trivia Challenge by Justin Wood, a patron of us who's helped support the show. Justin, how are you doing today?
I'm good, and you guys? How are you?
We are good as well, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I would like to personally and thank you for your support. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Thank you for doing the show.
Well, it's a labor of love, of this love of the Simpsons.
Also a labor of pain.
Oh, Matt, always the negative. Okay, so we're gonna do. Justin's gonna, after we do our individual questions, Justin's gonna grill us as well and try and stump us. I offered you to choose a theme, and you said no, that would be too easy. So
yes, well.
I'm interested to we'll see how hard these are. Go ahead, Justin.
I've been watching the show since I was 9 years old when it premiered. So you know.
Okay.
Well, but
all right, great. Oh, good, excellent, Matt. This is maybe Matt's time to reclaim a lead. How about Matt?
Oh yeah.
Oh, good, Matt. You start us off. Give me an easy question.
All right, sir. Your easy question today: what book is parodied by Das Boos?
That'd be Lord of the Flies.
You are correct. Putting that English degree to use.
Well, I read that in like 10th grade, so I don't think I never read that in college. Matt?
Still though.
Your easy question. And these are all from Krusty Gets Busted.
Oh, going way back.
Way back. First season. Your easy question. Name any of the ways Bart and Lisa figure out that Krusty was framed.
Krusty has a pacemaker, and the thief used a microwave.
That is an except that I also there's the feet. Krusty has small feet, and Sideshow Bob has big feet. Also, Krusty can't read.
At least he reads a magazine.
At least in that particular episode, he can't read. They're not necessarily
they go back and forth a little bit.
Yeah, not necessarily consistent on Krusty's illiteracy, but in that particular episode, he can't. What is my medium question, Matthew?
All right, sir. Your medium question. What does Bart use to breathe underwater when looking for the cooler full of food in Das Boos?
Oh, it's something really... Isn't it something really goofy? It's the inhaler. It's an inhaler.
You are correct. Milhouse's inhaler that he needs to live.
See, that's... That episode's not... I don't understand the hate for that episode. It's a good episode.
I think it's the whole thing that happens in the end where it's like, and we'll say that they'll say they're rescued by, oh, let's say Mo.
I love that. I really like that. Okay.
Your also, the B-plot of that is terrible.
We'll get there in a couple years, okay. I guess. What is it? Season, what season is that? Nine?
Nine or ten.
Ten?
Somewhere
I think
in
nine
there.
Or ten, yeah. Okay, your medium question, Matthew. What is the name of Sideshow Bob's show after he takes over for Krusty?
Is it Sideshow Bob's Cavalcade of Whimsy?
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
You are correct!
Yes!
Good job.
I was worried it was longer than that.
Oh, Cavalcade of Whimsy is not long, no, awkward enough of a title? No. Okay. What is my hard question?
All right, so your hard question. What fruits are involved in the race that causes the bus to crash? I need all four of them.
All four of them. Okay, well, there's an apple and an orange. And then Ralph has a banana. And then, oh, the fourth one. It's a grapefruit?
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
You are correct.
Oh,
I made these not nearly hard enough.
I'll take the points. All right. You're a hard question, Matt, and this is very hard. All right?
Oh.
What was the name of the real-life clown that Krusty is based on?
Rusty Nails.
Oh, you got it. Jeez. Man.
That was in, it was in one of the books we did for the bonus episode.
Was it?
It was, yeah, Planet Simpson. Oh, they talk about that. They talk about the Krusty the Clown episode, chapter.
You don't necessarily always remember the things that aren't necessarily in each episode. I was hoping. All right, fine.
Sorry.
Okay, well, we both got full points, but Justin, you have some questions for us.
I do.
All right, so just go from easy, medium, go easy, medium, hard. We'll simple. Whoever you hear answer first.
Okay.
Okay. I can't necessarily speak for the latency on Skype, but you can be the final arbiter.
Okay.
All right. So easy questions.
Okay. In Springfield Tide, what is the song that the submarine plays when it sets sail to sea?
In the Navy.
By the Village People.
Ooh, that was close. Who got it?
I heard Matt's voice.
Okay. Okay. Matt gets it. Matt gets the point.
That was the easy one. It's okay.
I guess that's true. You got medium questions now?
I do have some medium questions.
Okay.
In You Only Move Twice, what does Hank Scorpio expect Mr. Brunt to do?
Expect who to do?
Mr. Brunt, the James Bond parody.
Oh, to die and be a very cheap funeral.
That.
Oh, man. This is not good. This is bad. This is very bad. Okay. Give us our next one.
In Homer's phobia, my apologies, what is the name of John's store?
Cockamamies.
Yes, it is.
I just asked. I asked that one, Matt, to Matt.
Just asked that. Yeah. Another thing I still don't know.
3 weeks ago? I can't remember. But okay. I don't know. Yeah, well, we've only asked each other like hundreds of questions by this point. All right. This is the final medium, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
In Trouble with Trillions, why does Homer need to be paid by the... Well, I'm sorry, let me go again. In Trouble with Trillions, why does Homer want the FBI to pay him under the table?
Because he has a little tax problem, which is how he got involved in that in the first place.
Okay, Matt got that one.
I just loved that line in that episode. A little tax problem.
All right, give us a hard question, Justin.
Also from In You Only Move Twice, what fashion does Hank Scorpio claim to invent?
Jeans with a sport coat.
I think that was Matt.
Yeah, it was. He's too fast.
Sorry, Robbie. That happens sometimes.
You know what the score is now?
I don't, actually. I wasn't keeping track.
I was up 6 points heading into this episode. Now it is tied. Now yes. It is 26 to 26.
Now it's time to make the questions very hard.
Oh, no. Oh, I don't want to eat cheese. Or cheese product.
I thought you were too young for the hard question I wanted to ask.
Give it to us. Come on.
I wanted to ask, what painting... what's the subject matter of the painting Bart steals from the museum in the old Tracy Ullman short from The Simpsons?
Oh, we watched those for a bonus episode.
We did.
But
I want to say it was The Scream. Can't remember.
I can't either. What's the answer, Justin?
It was a naked lady.
Okay.
Oh, of course.
A naked lady. Of course.
I think I'm going to become a collector.
We did watch all of those shorts all at once for a bonus episode on the Patreon, but they...
Yeah, when you watch those, your eyes actually cross.
They're like a minute long each, and like they're... So some of them are legitimately like crazy. That's the thing I think I came away with, is like some of them are, a lot of them are like the ones that you remember from like the 138th episode Spectacular, but
yeah.
A lot of them are actually like really weird and off the wall, because I think that was, I don't know, I think Matt Grading and all those guys were just like, whatever, we have a minute, let's just do something, whatever.
People will laugh at how crummy this looks.
Yeah.
Well, it got better.
It did, but at the beginning it was just like, wow, people will laugh at this because it looks terrible.
I was on the Tracy Ullman show. Okay. All right, before we let you go, Justin, is there anything you want to promote? Any, you want people to follow you on Twitter? You want, like, you have some project you like? Is there anything you'd just like to say, hey, go check this out?
No. Thanks for doing the show, though. It's a great show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for your support, and I thank you for listening, and thank everyone out there for listening. I mean, we couldn't...
Absolutely.
The show would not be nearly what it is unless we had such loyal fans and listeners. And now, it is time for our final segment, the segment we end every single episode with. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is the part of the show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever, and how good they are. I have an idea. The general neighborhood of this one, Matt.
Really? Okay. Hit me.
It makes me think of Deep Space Homer and Mr. Plow.
I was thinking just that. I'm like, it's kind of Deep Space Homer, kind of Mr. Plow. Even a little bit Homer the Heretic. Homer, you know, rejecting authority and trying to substitute his own and eventually getting his comeuppance.
Yeah, I think it feels like those episodes. Do you think it's, I don't know, like, and obviously that's just a starting point. We can move up and down. Is it better than Mr. Plow?
I don't think so, no. I'm going to try and go ahead and skip to the end. I really enjoy Homer the Heretic, also Deep Space Homer. I would find it hard to put this episode above Deep Space Homer, and I even find it somewhat difficult to think that it's better than Homer the Heretic, because I know you are a big fan of Homer the Heretic.
I really like Homer the Heretic. It's really good. Okay, well, the one right below Homer the Heretic is Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 2?
That's a really tough one, because that's a great episode, and it doesn't really share much of a similarity at all with this episode, so it's very hard to contrast.
Well, okay, well, the one below that is Homer the Great, which is another kind of Homer.
I think this is better than Homer the Great, yes.
I think it's better than Homer the Great, too. I think it's right above Homer the Great, right below Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 2.
That makes sense. I can definitely go along with that. I really enjoy Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 2. The mystery aspect of it is something you don't really see in The Simpsons, whereas this King Size Homer is more of a traditional Simpsons episode in terms of plot structure and characters and those sorts of things. So originality is always rewarded. Well, almost always.
Yeah, I don't. Originality is overrated.
You say so.
Some of the best fiction that's ever been made are ripoffs.
That's true.
So I'm just, art is stealing inherently. Like, everyone is a product of all the art they've already previously digested.
That is true.
Okay. King Size Homer, number 24 on our list. Right above Homer the Great and right below Who Shot Mr. Burns Part 2. Number one on our list is still Cape Fear. I know you guys, I can hear the grinding of teeth, people who don't like that, but it's okay. It's our list. It's not yours. Last on the list is Homer's Odyssey, number 127, which it will be supplanted at one point.
At some point, we're getting close.
Every week we're getting closer. Yeah, it's honestly not that far off. We're relatively close to it compared to where we were. We're only season 7.
We're getting closer.
We are getting closer.
We'll find the one that you think is worse.
I know it's worse. There's no thinking about it.
And, all right, and we're gonna. I cannot wait.
And
to hear this.
There is a run where there's like 3 or 4. I would say are worse than that. Honestly, we've mentioned them before on the show, but you know that doesn't mean a lot because we've mentioned a lot of episodes. You can find this list at our website, simply thesimpsonsshow.com. This list is broken down by season and its entirety. Also, the list of the Treehouse of Horror segments broken down, ranking. Find links to every new episode, downloadable and streaming. Links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed, and link to our Patreon if you'd like to throw us a dollar or two. I think the show is worth a buck. Really appreciate it. What is our next episode, Matt?
Our next episode, let me consult the Oracles, aka Wikipedia. I believe it is Mother Simpson. Oof. Oh, snap.
Mother Simpson. No votes for overrated for Mother Simpson.
Obviously. I mean, I don't think that episode is overrated. They might have to get their Simpsons brain examined. Also, I'm looking at your 100 best Simpsons episodes in season 9, and I'm 5 in and already found what I vehemently disagree with.
I'm not saying it's accurate, Matt. I'm just saying that it exists.
That's true.
Okay, I didn't write the list. I'm not vouching. I'm not saying their list is like our list. I'm just saying it popped up and I thought it was interesting. Interesting question. Mother Simpson next week. Many consider a classic. I'm really excited to watch it and talk about it. Let's see. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixmasterCereal. That's MixmasterCereal. Please check out my other podcast, a comic book podcast called Handsome Boys Comics Hour, and my new Everything Under the Sun podcast called The Serial Fanaticist. That's Fanatic IST. It's on, you know, podcast places. Matt does not participate in social media unless you're a certain level of Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That's true. However, as we're recording this, it is now October. So I will be starting my usual October binge on Halloween candy. So if you happen to work there and want to give me a message, just write it on the inside of the wrappers. I eat enough that I am statistically likely to actually encounter it.
I don't think how practical that method means of communication is, Matt.
Well, you never know.
I mean, sure, you never know. Has anyone ever reached out to you yet?
No, not yet.
People Oh, okay.
Just don't care to talk to me that much.
I think that says something about the means of communication you're choosing, but
well,
I know it's hard to hear. I think we can call it a day with that. I am Robbie,
and I'm Matt,
and keep watching The Simpsons.